As an OBGYN and podcast host, I'm excited to share a resource that empowers mothers and mothers-to-be in managing their pelvic floor and core health. It's called Informed Pregnancy Plus, and it offers access to essential workshops that can significantly enhance your understanding and care of your body during and after pregnancy. Discover The Core Connection, a foundational 5-episode series by Natalie Headings, a pre-postnatal exercise specialist. This series covers the basics of pelvic floor health, teaches key postural adjustments, and shows you how to activate your core properly. For a more comprehensive experience, check out Mindful Movement. This premium series provides in-depth content, including practical exercises and personalized strategies to strengthen your body. It's like having a pelvic health expert in your home. You can try the full subscription streaming library of Informed Pregnancy Plus absolutely free. Visit informedpregnancy.tv to start an empowered journey toward a healthier motherhood. Take this step for your health, your body, and your baby will thank you.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place by working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies. We keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
In this episode, you are going to learn some tips for having an unmedicated hospital birth. Welcome to the All About Pregnancy and Birth podcast. I'm Dr. Nicole Calloway Rankins, a board-certified OBGYN who's been in practice for nearly 15 years. I've had the privilege of helping over 1,000 babies into this world, and I'm here to help you be calm, confident, and empowered to have a beautiful pregnancy and birth. Quick note, this podcast is for educational purposes only and is not a substitute for medical advice. Check out the full disclaimer at drnicolerankins.com/disclaimer. Now let's get to it. Hello, hello. Welcome to another episode of the podcast. This is episode number 160. Thank you for being here with me today. In today's episode, you are going to learn 9 tips for having an unmedicated hospital birth. This is an episode that I actually initially did over 3 years ago. It was one of the first episodes of the podcast. And from time to time, I like to go back and revisit older episodes as new information comes out, or I learn new things, or I grow in the way that I practice. So we are revisiting those 9 tips today with some additional tidbits of advice. Now, before we get into the episode, let me do a listener shout out. This is to MEH512, and the title of the review says, Informed and Prepared for a Complicated Birth. And the review says, I loved Dr. Rankin's podcast. She prepared me for a complicated birth, including a 20-hour labor, forceps, meconium aspiration, and NICU stay and postpartum depression. Because I listened to her podcast, I was informed and prepared for all of those things. I don't know how I would have gotten through it if it weren't for her. Well, first off, I am sorry that you had a difficult experience and had to have all of those complications. But I do appreciate you taking the time to let me know that listening to the podcast helped you through those difficult circumstances, and I hope everything is well now. Now, this brings up the fact that birth is an unpredictable process, and you really want to be prepared for the possible curveballs that come your way. No one can plan birth. You can't plan birth. Your doctor can't plan birth. Your baby has the most control over the birth process, and they don't tell us their plans. But there are some things that you can control about birth, especially how prepared you are with information. So although you can't plan it, you certainly can be prepared for it. And that is what childbirth education will do. If you want unbiased, evidence-based childbirth education. You can do it from the comfort of your own home, on the couch, in your PJs, with your partner, watching on your TV. Then do check out the birth preparation course. That is my online childbirth education class that'll get you calm, confident, and empowered for your birth. Check out all the details of the birth preparation course at drnicolerankins.com/enroll. All right, so let's get into the episode with tips for an unmedicated birth. So the first thing I want to talk about is, why do I say unmedicated instead of natural? A lot of people say natural childbirth or natural birth, and that's a common term. But the reason that I say unmedicated is because that's what it is. People are talking about giving birth without an epidural or even without any medication at all. So it really is unmedicated birth. And also, all birth is natural. Procreation, continuing our species, all of that is natural. The way that you manage pain during your labor doesn't affect whether or not that birth is natural or not. It's still a natural process, regardless of how you manage pain and also regardless of how your baby gets here. Some people also say the term natural, and what they mean is vaginal birth, even vaginal with an epidural. But really, all birth is natural, and we call things what they are, so we know that we're all talking about the same thing. So vaginal birth, unmedicated birth. I'm going to be talking about unmedicated vaginal birth in the hospital in this episode, okay? All right, let's get into it. So the first tip is, what is your motivation for having an unmedicated birth? Do you want an unmedicated birth because it seems to be the popular thing to do? Do you want an unmedicated birth because you have beliefs about women who do not use pain medication in labor, like somehow they are stronger? Do you have certain beliefs about women who do use pain medication in labor, like somehow they are weaker? Is your decision being influenced by people around you? Like, is your mother or your sister or a friend saying, you better not get that epidural because of X, Y, and Z reason? I want you to be clear on the motivation for an unmedicated birth and that it is your decision to make, okay? You may seek the opinion of others, but it is ultimately your choice. And there's no right or wrong answer to this. Don't let a blog or a friend or an Instagram post make that decision for you. It can help you in your decision-making process, but the decision is ultimately yours. Because know that things like your strength are not determined by how you manage pain and labor. Now, don't get me wrong. Having an unmedicated birth takes a tremendous amount of strength. But if you choose to give birth with medication, that doesn't mean that you aren't strong. Like, how you manage pain and labor is not the single determinant of your strength as a human being, as a woman, okay? You are strong regardless of how you choose to manage pain and labor. So really just take a step back and think about why you want to have this unmedicated birth and if it's really something that you want for yourself. When it's something that you want for yourself, that's how you're going to set yourself up for the best chances of success. Okay, number two, what is your level of commitment to having an unmedicated birth? Do you mean that you want an unmedicated birth as long as it's not too difficult? You just kind of want to play it by ear and see how things go? Or do you mean that you are ready to dig deep and scrape the bottom of your soul to give everything in you because you really, really want an unmedicated birth? There's no right or wrong answer to this. The point for this question is that your level of commitment becomes important if or when, I should even say, your labor potentially gets tough. Will you be okay with, you know what, I went as long as I could, I'm gonna get an epidural and I'm cool? Or will you need your support people, whether that's your partner or doula or even the nurse or your doctor to help you push through because it's so important to you and remind you that this is something that you really, really wanted to do. Because actually, sometimes that support when you're in those difficult circumstances, that push, that encouragement to keep going forward can be just what you need to get you over the hump, to get you over that little speed bump. So that is, can be really important to have the people around you supporting you. So that's why I need you to think about it. Let the people know so they can assist you accordingly, because it really can make a difference. All right, number three, unmedicated birth generally requires preparation. Now, there are some people, a few people who come in and they just have a baby and it's not perceived by them as being particularly painful. I would say that that is the exception rather than the rule. I can count on one or two hands the number of times that I have seen that throughout my 15 plus years of practicing. So it is unusual for folks to come in and be like, I didn't do anything and I'm just going to cruise through and have this baby without any medication and they haven't prepared for it. Okay. So unmedicated birth generally requires some preparation. Now, the level of preparation will vary, all right? You may need to read some books, and that's okay with you, and watch a few YouTube videos, or maybe you take a class that is specifically geared towards unmedicated birth. You like, because you want a really organized and structured approach to it. You have to do what you believe works best for you, but know that you do need to do something to prepare. Because what happens if you don't prepare and you don't have an idea of what to expect with an unmedicated birth, the pain can quickly become overwhelming. And when you are in the hospital and it becomes overwhelming, it's really easy to reach for that epidural, even if that's something that you weren't initially planning to do. So if you want to give birth without medication, be sure to prepare. You also want to know what your options are for managing pain. You need to know the whole gamut of options so that you can plan accordingly. So there's options for managing pain that don't involve medication, like hydrotherapy, movement and positions, hypnosis. Those are all ways that folks commonly manage pain. Having a doula can help as well. Massage, affirmations. These are things that I talk about in my free guide on how to manage pain and labor. You can grab that at drnicolerankins.com/pain. But you want to think through what the options are, because there's also nitrous oxide, which is an inhaled gas, and people don't necessarily consider that like in the spectrum of the same as an epidural, but it's not exactly quite the same as unmedicated because it is medication. But you may feel comfortable with nitrous oxide. Also, you may feel comfortable using IV pain medication. Typically, that's going to be narcotics. And I talk about that in that guide as well, when those can be used and when there's a good idea, circumstances, risk benefits, all that good, great stuff. So you may feel comfortable using IV pain medication, but still don't necessarily want the epidural. So that's where that preparation is going to be key, to help you know what your options are and then plan accordingly and have all of those tools in your tool bag for managing pain, and you can have them right there when you need them. Dr. Mom Butt Balm is a pediatrician approved skin protectant free of dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide. It was developed by a mom who is also a doctor when she couldn't find any traditional products that worked for her baby's persistent diaper rash. Diaper rash can be one of the worst experiences your little one has to go through, and keeping their delicate skin happy and healthy shouldn't require a spatula to apply thick, goopy treatments that can be just as irritating and uncomfortable as the diaper rash itself. Use just a small amount of Dr. Mom Butt Balm to help soothe your baby's skin and feel good about making the right choice. Dr. Mom is committed to providing an ultra-premium formula for moms who will not settle when it comes to their little ones. Help your baby feel better and get relief from irritating diaper rash with simple, quality ingredients, no artificial dyes or preservatives, so it's gentle on your baby's delicate skin. Head to Amazon.com or Walmart.com to grab Dr. Mom Butt Balm because nothing comes between you and your baby, especially not diaper rash. All right, tip number four is to stay at home as long as possible. And I actually recommend this for everyone who is having a baby to stay at home as long as possible. That is, I should say I recommend it for anyone who wants to limit the amount of interventions that happen. Definitely stay at home as long as possible. So when I say stay at home as long as possible, by that I mean your contractions need to be 5 minutes apart or less. All of the contractions need to be strong enough that you're having to work to manage them. And it needs to be for at least 2 hours that you are doing that before you go to the hospital. Now, of course, there are going to be some caveats to that. If you live a long distance away, then it may be 1 hour. And I'm talking about for your first baby, especially. But typically you can wait for 2 hours. And by working to manage them, I mean that you have to stop. You can't talk through it. All you can do is focus on getting through the contraction, okay? And I'll be honest, especially for first-time moms, a lot of folks see that or they experience contractions that are in the early part of labor and they're like, oh yeah, this is definitely it. And then as labor gets going and the contractions ramp up in intensity, then it's like, okay, this is what you meant. So you really need to be at the like, oh my goodness, this is very intense stage for 2 hours before you go to the hospital. And if your contractions are sometimes 5 minutes apart, sometimes 8 minutes apart, it's not time. If they're irregular, it's not time. If they're sometimes strong, sometimes not, it's generally not time, especially for your first baby. See, if you go to the hospital too early, then you may get sent home, which is actually good if you want to do a low intervention birth. Or if you go to the hospital too early, you may be offered interventions like Pitocin or breaking your water to help get things going. Or you may be offered pain medication. And not that those things are inherently bad, but if you want an unmedicated birth, you generally want to limit intervention. So to have the best chance of having labor unfold on its own with minimal intervention, stay at home as long as you can. You'll also be more comfortable at home in that early part of labor, which can last quite some time, actually, depending on how the labor goes. And you're going to be more comfortable at home where you can move in your own space and all of those good, great things. Now, I know there's always that thing in the back of people's mind where people are worried that, oh my God, I'm going to have my baby in the car if I stay home too long. And I believe that that stems from the myth of how TV and movies portray labor, that it's this super fast thing that happens in 5 minutes. You know, your contractions start and then 5 minutes later you're at the hospital and 5 minutes after that baby's out. That is not how labor unfolds. The average active labor is 8 hours. And if it's going to be a lot shorter than that, then typically the intensity is going to wrap up fast. And your body is telling you that this is really, really intense. Something is happening. It's going very quickly. And I need to go in. All right. You're just not likely to have your baby at home or in the car if you stay home in consistently strong labor for 2 to 3 hours. If you stay home until you're in good labor, you're much more likely to be a good like 5 or 6 centimeters when you get to the hospital. And by that point, like you're over halfway there. All right. You're over halfway through your labor process. Because on the other side of 5 centimeters, and this is again things that you can learn in childbirth education, things tend to go faster than from getting from 0 to 5 or 6. From 6 to 10 is faster. So you're like over halfway there by the time you get to the hospital. And yes, I know that it does happen that babies are occasionally born in the car or, you know, in the right out in front of the hospital or things like that. But honestly, those babies often come so fast and furious. It's not a whole lot that anybody could have done to get to the hospital fast enough. Those babies are just coming. Like, it's not that people are sitting at home for hours and hours and hours. It's just that things hit so quickly and those babies come quickly. So again, you are not likely to have your baby in the car. Stay home as long as you can. Now, this is where a doula can be a really great resource for you with this. If she's experienced and she knows what a labor woman looks like, sounds like even over the phone. I would say it used to be more frequent that doulas would maybe come to your home in the early part of labor. I'll be honest, I don't see that happen as much. Most often I see that your doula will talk to you on the phone and help you think through what's going on, which is perfectly fine because you can actually tell or get a sense for how people are managing labor by listening to them going through a contraction. If you go through a contraction and you're still talking and having a conversation, then you're probably not in active labor yet. So they can give you an idea of whether or not it's time to go in. A good doula can definitely help you with that. Okie dokie. Tip number 5 is do not fight the pain in labor, surrender to it. So this can be challenging because pain in our bodies is usually a sign that something is wrong. When you cut yourself, if you break a bone, if anything is happening that is painful in your body, that is usually a sign that something is wrong. So it's counterintuitive to not fight pain when you're in labor. But it is so important that you don't fight that pain during labor. And let me explain why. When you are fighting contractions, you are thinking that they are bad and all you want is for that pain to stop. Each contraction, when you're fighting it, can bring on a sense of panic. It can bring on a sense of anxiousness, can bring on a sense of dread. This leads to increased tension and tightness in your body and will actually increase your perception of pain. It's going to feel more painful. And then that will in turn amplify the dread, the panic, the anxiousness with the next contraction. And when that happens, you can get overwhelmed and start looking for escape routes from that pain. Escape in the hospital is going to mean an epidural. Okay. Now let's contrast that with what happens when you surrender to pain and you work with your body and work through the pain. When you surrender to the contractions, you recognize that this pain, the sensation, what you're feeling in your body, and I know some people like to refer to it as surges or waves or things like that. If you find that helpful for you, that's perfectly fine. But most people will perceive it as pain. But when you recognize, when you surrender to the pain, you recognize that the pain is not the enemy. What you're feeling in that moment has a purpose, and that purpose is to open your body and birth your baby. You understand in that moment that the pain is not permanent. You know that it is not damaging your body, even if it is intense. You know that those contractions are actually a natural part of labor. You understand that the pain that you're feeling is not permanent. You know that it is not damaging your body, even if it's intense. You are able to flow with the pain and you are able to accept support to help you cope with it. You find a rhythm for managing the contractions, and that will in turn decrease the perception of pain. So don't fight the contractions, surrender to them, work with them. So along with that is number 6, which is approach labor one contraction at a time. When you surrender to labor, you take it one contraction at a time. I've had so many people tell me that they didn't realize how much time had passed by during their labor because they were really approaching it one contraction at a time, and then get through one, get through the next. You don't want to think about how much labor is left. You don't want to think about how long it's going to take. You get through one contraction and then the next contraction and then the next contraction, realizing that each contraction is going to get you closer and closer to meeting your baby. So again, definitely approach labor as one contraction at a time. Get through that moment, then the next moment, then the next moment, knowing that each moment is bringing you closer to meeting your sweet baby. This episode is sponsored by ByHeart. ByHeart is an infant nutrition company built from the ground up to deliver real innovation on behalf of babies and parents. Their mission is simple: make the best formula in the world. Using the latest in breast milk science, ByHeart created a clinically proven, easy-to-digest infant formula that's made with organic, grass-fed whole milk, certified clean ingredients, and features a patented protein blend that gets closest to breast milk. Their blend includes the most abundant protein found in breast milk, alpha-lac, as well as lactoferrin, the number one protein found in colostrum. In addition to its patented protein blend, their formula includes prebiotics and an 80-20 whey to casein ratio, like in early breast milk, which is tailor-made for a newborn's digestive system and makes it an easy-to-digest formula. Curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with code Dr. Nicole for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply. Number 7. Request a nurse who has experience caring for women who want an unmedicated birth, or at the very least, enjoys taking care of women who want an unmedicated birth. Your nurse is the one who is with you during the majority of your labor, not your doctor. This is something that people are sometimes taken aback by, like they see their doctor a couple times during the labor process. That is really, really common in hospital birth, because you know how when you're in the office in an appointment and your doctor may have somebody who's in labor. So they're still like seeing patients and doing things. They really typically come maybe to get you settled in the hospital and then also maybe check once or twice during the labor and then back for the delivery. So your nurse is the one who is with you the most during the majority of your labor. And having a nurse who is experienced in caring for women who have an unmedicated birth, or is at least interested in, wants to care for women who are having an unmedicated birth, can make such a huge difference. Another thing that people don't realize is that not all labor and delivery nurses like to do unmedicated birth or have any experience in caring for people that are having an unmedicated birth. Like, not all nurses like it or do it. Now, if you have a good nurse, she can help you try different techniques to cope with contractions. She can support you during difficult parts. She can advocate for you if needed. A good labor and delivery nurse who's comfortable with unmedicated birth is going to encourage you to get up. They're going to encourage you to walk around. They're going to offer you to get in the shower. They're going to do different positions with you. They may know things like spinning babies techniques, which will help get the baby in a better position. So definitely ask for a nurse who has experience caring for women who want an unmedicated birth. And along with that, actually, you actually want to know, or maybe have a sense, you can ask your doctor, like, how does the hospital, or call up to the hospital and ask, like, how many people give birth there who don't do, you know, who do it without an epidural. You want to be in an environment where there are people who are comfortable taking care of folks who have an unmedicated birth, because it's just not, it's just so much better if you have that nurse and if you have that hospital who is comfortable with those things. Number 8, politely request that no one offers you pain medication, that you will ask for it if you need it. You really want to be in control of the decision to accept pain medication, and you don't want someone in your ear saying like, do you just want to get the epidural? Do you just want to get the epidural? Do you just want to get the epidural? Because that's annoying and it throws you off of your concentration in your game. So tell people that you will ask for pain medicine if you need it. You don't need them to bring it up. Okay, and then the last thing I will say about giving birth without medication in the hospital is that if you change your mind and you decide to use pain medication, if you decide to get an epidural, that is okay. That is okay. There's nothing wrong with that. You are not a failure. You are not weak. You have grown a whole entire human being inside of your body, and that is pretty freaking spectacular. There is nothing that is a failure about that. And how you manage your pain during labor does not take away from that spectacular display of growing a baby. So if you decide that you want to get IV pain medication when you thought you weren't going to do that, that's fine. If you decide that you want an epidural, that's fine. Perfectly okay. If you change your mind, don't beat yourself up. It doesn't say anything about you other than you changed your mind. Okay. Remember, how you choose to manage pain and labor is not a reflection on your character, on your being, or anything like that. All right. So just to recap those 9 tips for an unmedicated birth in the hospital. Number 1, think about what is your motivation for having an unmedicated birth. Make sure it is something that you want to do. Number 2, what is your level of commitment to having an unmedicated birth, so you know that you have the right support with you for your goals. Number 3, unmedicated birth requires preparation. It is not typical that you can just stroll on into the hospital and have a baby without medication. You gotta be prepared. Number 4, stay at home as long as possible. You want to be in good, strong, active labor by the time you get to the hospital. Number 5, don't fight those contractions. Surrender to them and work with them. Number 6, approach labor one contraction at a time. Get through one contraction, then the next contraction, then the next contraction. Number 7, request a nurse who has experience caring for women who want an unmedicated birth, or at the very least is interested in caring for women who have an unmedicated birth. Yes, it is the case that there are some labor and delivery nurses who don't want to do it. All right, number 8, politely request that no one offers you pain medication. And number 9, if you change your mind and decide to use an epidural, that is okay. Now, inside the birth preparation course, I have a whole extra lesson on giving birth without medication in the hospital. It includes information with more specifics on important questions to ask yourself, questions to ask your doctor, questions to ask about the hospital. You'll learn about the importance of support, some additional powerful tips to rock that unmedicated birth in the hospital. You'll learn how labor induction impacts unmedicated birth, and then tons more detail about medication-free pain management techniques, including a downloadable guide with illustrations, description of techniques you can use. You can check out all the details of the birth preparation course at drnicolerankins.com/enroll. All right, so there you have it. Please do me a favor, share this podcast with a friend if you enjoy it. My goal is to reach and serve as many pregnant folks as possible, and I so would appreciate your help in doing that by having you share the podcast with a friend. Also, be sure to subscribe to the podcast in Apple Podcast or wherever you're listening to me right now, and leave me a review in Apple Podcast. I love to hear what you think about the show, and I do shout outs from those reviews. And come follow me over on Instagram if you want to continue the conversation after the podcast. I'm on Instagram at Dr. Nicole Rankins. Lots of great information there as well. So that is it for this episode. Do come on back next week and remember that you deserve a beautiful pregnancy and birth.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.